This morning on WCHL, UNC disputes the claims of illiteracy among student-athletes.
I think the data that we have about students upon admission don't support the claim.
We'll bring you the latest report of flu-related deaths here in North Carolina.
It's pretty much on track as to what it was last year.
And an expansion in the Chapel Hill-Carborough City school system means relocation for some families. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill-Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, the Carolina women returned to the hard court last night and got their third straight ACC win. Plus, we'll get you ready for the men's attempt to rebound from an 0-3 start. The Tar Heels get set to take on Boston College tomorrow in the Smith Center. And it's a big weekend coming up for football.
Boo-hoo, it's the Broncos who win Sunday and move on to the Super Bowl.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL. It is 31 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a lot of sunshine today. High today in the low 50s. And actually, a pretty good weekend coming up, although rather cool. Mary Willingham says her research privileges at UNC have been revoked. Multiple media outlets are reporting that Willingham has been asked to reapply for research privileges by the Institutional Review Board. She says she plans to do so. Willingham was quoted in a CNN article January 8th as saying there's an alarming number of illiterate student-athletes at Carolina. The university released data on Thursday afternoon that disputes the claims in the CNN article. UNC has responded with data of its own. A week after UNC student-athlete illiteracy was called into question, Chancellor Carol Folt responded, saying the allegations are being reviewed and that the claims don't add up so far as the preliminary figures in UNC's records go. Chancellor Folt wrote to the campus community on Thursday, saying that Carolina's recent academic and athletic improprieties shook our university to its core, but the woes continue. She said the investigation into the literacy of these students is a lengthy process, but that it's ongoing. She asked the community for patience and understanding during the process and has assured everyone that the truth will be explained. To read the letter from Chancellor Folt and to read her whole statement, you can find a link to it through this story on our website at chapelboro.com. Now, again, this was a response from the chancellor before actual academic numbers were released from UNC. And UNC came out with those numbers later in the day. 97% of UNC student-athletes met the CNN reading skills threshold. That's according to an eight-year admissions analysis produced by the university. The CNN article stated that the majority of Carolina student-athletes read at a level no higher than eighth grade. Well, WCHL's Aaron Keck wanted to speak with Steve Farmer, UNC's Director of Undergraduate Admissions, following the release of the data. He got him on the phone, and when asked if the university's data was incompatible with Willingham and CNN's findings, Farmer had this to say.
I think these numbers are wildly incompatible with that claim. I don't know how that claim was arrived at, but I think the data that we have about students upon admission don't support the claim.
You can hear the complete interview with Steve Farmer, UNC's Director of Undergraduate Admissions, on our website, chapelboro.com. Now, again, Mary Willingham is currently employed at UNC as a clinical instructor and academic advisor, previously worked as an athletic tutor. She spoke to CNN based on her encounters with Carolina athletes and is the source of the claims about the university. The article stated that according to academic experts, the threshold for being college literate is a score of 400 on the SAT critical reading or writing test. On the ACT, that threshold is 16. Released on Thursday, Carolina's Office of Undergraduate Admissions used CNN's definition to analyze UNC's own SAT and ACT data for special talent student-athletes enrolled as first-year students through policies and procedures established by the UNC Board of Trustees, faculty, and the admissions office at Carolina. UNC's analysis found that between 2004 and 2012, the same time period examined by CNN, Carolina enrolled 1,377 first-year student-athletes through the special talent policies and procedures. More than 97% of those students met the CNN threshold. 39 students, fewer than 3%, did not. 23 of the 39 students who did not meet the CNN threshold either graduated from the university, remain enrolled and in good academic standing, or left with academic eligibility to return. UNC's data also stated that of the student-athletes who enrolled between 2004 and 2012 under the special talent policies, 341 of those people were recruited for football, men's basketball, and women's basketball. More than 90%, or 307 of these students, met the CNN threshold, according to the university. 34 students recruited for football, men's basketball, and women's basketball did not meet the threshold. Of that group, 20 students either have graduated from the university or remain enrolled and in good academic standing. The data was released hours after UNC Chancellor Folt came out with her statement. Folt said she's investigating the claims. She questioned their validity, saying that the data presented in the media did not match up with those data gathered by the Office of Undergraduate Admissions. And again, she asked for everyone's patience and understanding today. And the story will continue. Of course, the WCHL will continue to cover it for you. A Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Mandarin Chinese dual language program will expand at Glenwood Elementary next year. But that means 76 families have to be moved to other schools to eliminate overcrowding. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
The Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board voted 6-1 last night to expand the Mandarin dual language program at Glenwood Elementary and keep access to the program open to all students in the district via a lottery system. Board Vice Chair Mia Burrows said the value of dual language education extends beyond the local community.
I consider it a gift to the country, frankly, to have bilingual and multilingual children, and particularly in Mandarin.
The vote means 76 families at Glenwood will need to be redistricted to alleviate overcrowding due to growth in the dual language program and increased enrollment in the school's attendance zone. More than 100 parents turned out last night to ask the school board to put to rest the recent uncertainty about the future of the Mandarin program. But parents differed widely on what they saw as the best solution. Those with students in the Mandarin program touted the merits of dual language education. Pam Caswell told the school board the program has changed the way her son approaches learning.
There is a rumor that it serves only the 156 most high-achieving students, and I am here to tell you different. My son did not enter Glenwood above average. He has become a high-achieving student because of the daily effort that we put into his studies.
But parents outside the program argued it costs too much and serves too few. Heather Kumnick labeled it an unnecessary expense in a tight budget year.
When I'm sending in hundreds and hundreds of dollars of supplies because in October teachers are out of copy paper, and my daughter's art class doesn't have pencils or erasers, and my child's kindergarten class doesn't have glue sticks, how can we continue to pour money into something that serves such a small percentage of the population?
School board members cautioned against singling out any one program for cuts and reiterated their support for expanding Mandarin dual language, saying expansion of the program will lower per pupil expenses. Again, Mia Burrows.
The reason we expanded is not only did we think this was a really important program, was to bring the cost down. You need to make the program load-bearing. You need to fill those classrooms so there aren't extra small classrooms in fourth and fifth grade.
But the board wrestled with how and where the program should grow. In the long term, the district could open a new dual language magnet that would house the Mandarin program. But for now, any expansion means non-dual language learners will need to be redistricted to make room for new Mandarin students. Board members also struggled with the purpose of the program, noting it's evolved from instruction to help those with limited English to more of an immersion program for English-speaking students. Annetta Streeter said it's not fulfilling the purpose it was meant for.
I am very much disappointed that what was intended to be a support for students who are not native English speakers, it is no longer that. So that brings up another concern, is that are we doing what we're supposed to be doing to support students who actually do need consistent instruction and intervention to acquire English?
And though the board settled on a short-term solution that eases Glenwood's overcrowding for next year, there's no clear consensus on what to do with the Mandarin program in the long term. Board members agreed to hire a consultant to examine the long-term options for the program with an eye toward implementing a solution by 2016. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Five more people have died from the flu here in North Carolina. That brings the total number of influenza-related deaths to 27 for this flu season. According to the State Department of Health and Human Services, the recent deaths occurred between January 5th and January 11th. Pam McCall, Director of Personal Health Services for the Orange County Health Department, said that the number of deaths is not unusual at this stage of the flu season.
We actually had a total of 59 flu deaths last year in North Carolina. This time last year, the number of deaths was 35. So it's pretty much on track as to what it was last year.
The state announced the first reported child flu death on Monday. The Center for Disease Control recommends that people 6 months and older get vaccinated for the flu.
Recommended for parents or family members of young children is for everybody in the family to get a flu vaccine in order to help protect that infant who is too young to get the vaccine.
McCall said it's not too late for people to get their annual flu shots, but it does take a couple of weeks for the shot to become effective and for the antibodies to develop in your body. The vaccine protects against various strains of flu virus circulating this year, including H1N1. It's available in shot form, of course, and also in nasal spray. Flu season runs from September until around March. The number of cases typically peaks in January or February. McCall said if you do come down with the flu, the antiviral medication Tamiflu can reduce the severity and duration of symptoms. North Carolina State employees are gathering again at a downtown Raleigh church to remember the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and honor a state worker for improving their community and race relations. The annual State Employees King Observance Service was scheduled for midday today. Governor Pat McCrory plans to attend and speak. He'll also present the John R. Larkins Award, one of state government's highest honors. King was assassinated in 1968. Wednesday marked the 85th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birth. The federal and state holiday, of course, is Monday. This is the first King State Employees event since the General Assembly passed, and McCrory signed into law an elections overhaul bill that, in part, requires photo ID to vote in person. Lawsuits allege the law harms the voting rights of minorities. Well, again, as I mentioned, Martin Luther King Day on Monday. A variety of events scheduled for Quincy campus all next week. You can get more details on that as it gets closer right here on WCHL. We will also have a lot of information on our website at chapelboro.com. It's 8:16. Time now for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Glass Half Full. That's the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop all in one, right in the heart of downtown Carborough. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun, too. Online at glasshalffullcarborough.com. Time to check traffic on WCHL just ahead of WCHL Championship Sports and a preview of tomorrow's Carolina-Boston College game coming up. Now, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you, Ron. A couple of slowdowns to let you know about. I-40 heading eastbound as you approach the Durham Freeway, seeing about 2 miles or so of slowdowns there, just mild, minor to moderate delays in that area. 15501 northbound and southbound between NC 86 and NC 54, seeing minor to moderate delays as well. And NC 54 heading eastbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, also seeing minor to moderate delays. Nothing too major out on the roadways right now. No accidents reported and no additional delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right, very well done, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather brought to you by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54, where you can register to win UNC Duke tickets by liking them on their Facebook page. Enter now for a chance to win, and also check out other special offers from Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54 in Chapel Hill. It is 31 degrees in Chapel Hill. A little bit nippy this morning. Mostly sunny, high today in the low 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of isolated sprinkles in the evening. Cold tonight, low about 25. Tomorrow, we're looking at sunshine and much cooler temperatures. Our highs in the afternoon, for example, only in the upper 30s. Tomorrow night, cold with a low down in the middle 20s again. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny, not as cool with a high in the upper 40s. On Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, mostly sunny with a high of about 55. So, not bad weather coming up for the weekend, although a little bit on the chilly side.
Listen at home or while you work with live streaming on chapelboro.com. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
For the third straight year, North Carolina's state parks and recreation areas had record attendance with 14.2 million visits in 2013. That's according to the State Division of Parks and Recreation. Charlie Peak of the North Carolina Division of Parks and Recreation tells WCHL that among the 40 state parks and recreation areas, 19 reported increased attendance in the past year, including the Eno River State Park.
It's almost a super local park. It attracts so many people every day of the year. And so it's a real institution in that part of the state.
Over the past 25 years, the state park system has seen an 80% increase in visitation in the winter months as well. Peake says this has made a positive impact on our state's economy. The average tourist, someone who travels a considerable distance to visit a state park, will spend about $24 a day in the area, according to a study that was done back in 2008.
With that level of visitation, that adds up quickly to, conservatively, over $400 million a year.
High visitation this year, Peake explains, is attributed in part to the fact that there haven't been any serious weather events in North Carolina, such as hurricanes or snowstorms.
It just makes the Durham-Orange community a lot more livable, and that attracts a lot of people. It attracts companies and businesses and just makes for a more dynamic neighborhood.
The Jordan Lake Recreational Area and Haw River State Park saw slight drops in attendance. Peake says those fluctuations happen from year to year, but adds that Jordan Lake had close to 1.5 million visitors last year. In contrast, there were just over 939,000 visitors to Jordan Lake State Recreation Area back in 2004, and non-local visitors spent an estimated total of more than $2.8 million while visiting the region. 820 at WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by UNC Healthcare. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Tar Heel basketball team will try to get into the win column in the Atlantic Coast Conference tomorrow. Roy Williams Tar Heels will take on Boston College in the Smith Center after a week without any games. Harold Gutman of the Herald Sun follows the Tar Heels quite closely. And Harold, this game is, I wouldn't want to call it a must game, certainly not crucial, but the Tar Heels want to turn this season around. This game is one that needs to go into the win column for Carolina.
Yeah, I think it's as close as a must-win as you can get four games into the conference season. I mean, Boston College has had a really rough year. I think they're 5-12 right now. And Boston College and Virginia Tech are pretty much the two worst teams in the ACC. They don't get Virginia Tech at home. So this game against Boston College at home is pretty much the most winnable game on the schedule. So if North Carolina can't pick this one up, they're in a whole heap of trouble.
Well, we're hoping for a big game from Marcus Paige, as we have seen thus far this season. As Marcus Paige goes, so go the Tar Heels. If Marcus doesn't have a big game, then the Tar Heels seem to be in trouble. And Carolina, of course, needs to hit some three-pointers. The outside shooting woes continue.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I do agree that Marcus Paige, it would certainly help if he could kind of equal his production from early on in the season when he was averaging about 20 points a game. But I think equally as crucial is for some others from secondary scorers to step up. I know against Syracuse, you know, Marcus Paige and James Michael McAdoo were the only scorers who had more than 4 points in the game, and you just can't win a college basketball game with only two guys scoring. So they need some complimentary scorers to step up. Now, I don't know who that's going to be. If you look at their lineup, I mean, Nate Britt, the point guard, he's not really known as a scorer in high school. I don't even think he averaged double figures. You know, J.P. Tokido still struggles shooting from outside. The starting center, Joel James, you know, his offensive game hasn't really developed yet. So it's, you know, you might have to be someone off the bench. You know, Leslie McDonald, he's in a bit of a shooting slump right now. If he could provide some scoring, or maybe, you know, Bryce Johnson or Kennedy Meeks in the post. They just need a couple additional people, so it's not all on Marcus Paige.
We're talking to Harold Gutman of the Durham Herald Sun, who follows Carolina basketball. And Harold, how do you see this game shaping up tomorrow? You already mentioned that so far this season, Boston College and Carolina, the worst teams in the ACC as far as the record goes. How do you see this one shaping up?
You know, I've been wrong so many times this season about how North Carolina games should go. You know, it's not even worth it for me to offer a prediction, but you'd have to think that North Carolina has had a week to kind of lick their wounds, to improve, to work out the kinks, and then you'd have to think that this is a game against Boston College of all teams, that they can get some confidence, get some momentum going into the rest of ACC play. You know, UNC's never started 0-4 in the ACC before. They've only started 0-3 one other time, and that was Dean Smith last year. Now that team ended up making the Final Four, and we're a long way from that. But you'd have to think if there was a game that UNC was going to win handily, it would be this home game against Boston College on Saturday.
Well, it's amazing what a difference a win can make, and hopefully the Tar Heels will be able to get into the win column tomorrow and turn things around. Harold Gutman, we appreciate your joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
All right. Game coming up tomorrow on WCHL, and we will have it for you right here on WCHL, your flagship station for Carolina basketball. Tar Heel women are on a roll. Carolina took down Clemson last night at Chapel Hill for a third straight Atlantic Coast Conference win. WCHL's Matt Oakes has a recap.
The number 9 North Carolina women's basketball team defeated the Clemson Tigers 78-55 at Carmichael Arena Thursday evening to improve to 15-3 overall and 3-1 in the ACC.
Washington hands it off to Gray, who comes in motion to the top of the circle, kicks it outside to Diamond to Shields. Three-pointer is in there. After struggling so much this season, Diamond to Shields broke out against Florida State on Sunday with 4 three-pointers, and she hits her first one of the night here.
After a somewhat sluggish start, Carolina's offense got going as Diamond DeShield's shot started falling and Stephanie Mavunga's inside force was put on full display.
Pickup of energy for the Tar Heels when they needed it down early in the first half. DeShields spots up for a jumper, no good. Mavunga rips the rebound away from Gramblich. Spin move down to the low block and scores the layup. UNC stretches the lead now to 6, 25-19.
The Tar Heels had pulled away from the Tigers by halftime and continued to dominate the second half of play with shots like this one from Jessica Washington.
And Gray redeems herself by getting in there for the rebound. Pushes it forward to Washington, who goes straight to the rim. Latifah Coleman style scores it and draws the foul.
Diamond DeShields with 24 points and Alicia Gray with 16 points led the way for Carolina in scoring as they delivered an impressive performance on Throwback Thursday. With the loss, Clemson dropped to 9-9 on the season and 1-3 in conference. ACC Player of the Week Nikki Dixon just wasn't enough to overcome the dynamic play of Carolina's talented youth. After the game, Associate Head Coach Andrew Calder said he hopes Head Coach Sylvia Hatchell will be back on the court very soon.
I'd like to again thank Coach Hatchell. She had to go back in the hospital today for some more treatment, and our prayers are continuing to be with her. Hopefully we can get her back out here on the court as soon as possible.
Coach Calder says he was happy with the way Carolina shared the basketball and fought for rebounds. UNC out-rebounded Clemson 40-25.
As far as the basketball game goes, did a lot of very good things in the basketball. I think we shared the ball. I thought we had a couple of unforced turnovers that we got to improve on. But we did have more assists than turnovers, and that's our goal. We did shoot 55% from the floor, and we out-rebounded them 40-25.
Sophomore Zelina McDaniel said she thought the intensity on defense helped aid the offensive explosion for the Tar Heels.
I mean, once we see that we're falling behind by a pretty good amount, then it's like, y'all, we really have to pick it up. Like, we can't play with them anymore. Like, you know, we just have to pick it up. And then, I mean, once we pick it up, then we play some pretty good defense, which makes our offense start to flow.
Next up for Carolina is a trip to Boston College for a 1 p.m. meeting on Sunday. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
High school basketball tonight right here on WCHL. The Tigers of Chapel Hill High School and the Spartans of Southern Durham will tip it off at 6:30, or tip it off at 7 o'clock, actually. Our coverage will start at 6:30. On 97.9 FM and chapelboro.com, Rand Northam will have the play-by-play call alongside Paul Connell. High school basketball tonight right here on WCHL. The number 3 UNC women's tennis team will take to the court this weekend for the 12th annual Freeman Memorial Women's Tennis Championship, January 17th through 19th on the campus of UNLV. The tournament boasts a strong field with 6 teams ranked in the top 10 playing in the 17 field. That is today through Sunday. ACC rival Duke will serve it up along with Carolina and top-ranked Stanford. Carolina freshman Haley Carter is seeded third in the singles draw, while Carter and Whitney Kay will team up at the doubles competition for the first time as the number 4 seeds. The tournament has attracted 12 of the top 50 individuals and 2 of the top 3 ranked doubles team. Action begins this afternoon at 1 o'clock out at UNLV. The finals are slated for Sunday. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Boo-hoo, it's the Broncos who win Sunday and move on to the Super Bowl. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Dan Shaughnessy, the great columnist for the Boston Globe, wrote this week that the New England Patriots will lose Sunday in the AFC Championship game at Denver. He says the Peyton-Brady Bowl will go to the Broncos because simply they have too many weapons and are playing at home. Trying not to induce threats on his life, Shaughnessy clearly stated that was only his opinion. Unfortunately, as a lifelong Patriots fan, I have to agree with him. It doesn't mean I won't be squirming, pacing, shouting at the TV, and doing everything in my powerless existence to help Brady pull out yet another victory over Peyton and move on to his 6th Super Bowl. I just think the deck is stacked too much this time against my team. The Broncos have more receivers than the Pats have D-backs. Both NFL Final Four games should be great.
with the Red Hot 49ers playing the Seahawks in Seattle for the NFC title. This one is even tougher to figure than the Pats Broncos because San Francisco seems to be on the uptick, while Seattle is not as dominating as was earlier in the season. Youngsters Colin Kaepernick versus Russell Wilson make it such a contrast to the first game. Despite Seattle's deafening home crowd, I still like the Niners to reach a second straight Super Bowl. Chances are I'll be too depressed to watch that game after what will be a classic matchup of the older elite quarterbacks. Tom Brady owns the head-to-head record against Peyton Manning. And of course, Tom Terrific has three Super Bowl rings to one for the ageless wonder in orange. Even though Manning is the bitter rival Sunday, I admire how he has come back from a serious neck injury and marvel how the Broncos' offensive line never lets any defender near him when a full-speed sack from a certain angle could end his career. The game may not be the aerial circus so many of these matchups have been since both teams want to run the ball and keep the other quarterback off the field. The faster one team scores means the more possessions and more chances for either Brady or Manning to go to work. So it will be a chess game with both playing conservatively most of the time while looking for a weakness to attack with passes over the top. Regrettably, I think that's where the Broncos will wind up at the end. This is Art Chansky. See ya. Lloyd Tire at 730 Hillsborough Street, a title sponsor of the Continental Tire Big Apple Basketball Giveaway, has served Chapel Hill and Carrboro since 1984. Lloyd Tire carries Continental and most other major brands and is more than just tires. Lloyd offers all major automotive service and repairs and prides itself on the integrity of its business and employees, including three military veterans. You will get an honest appraisal and estimate at the most competitive prices. Stop by Lloyd Tire in Alignment at 730 Hillsborough Street, serving Chapel Hill and Carrboro for 30 years.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the newly opened restaurant and bar called Industry. It's half off, $20 worth of food, available now for $10. Formerly known as The Standard, Industry now creates a warm, relaxing environment that is perfectly suited for casual dinner and drinks with family and friends. Industry doesn't get any more local. All four owners and operators are born and raised right here in Chapel Hill. Enjoy weekly specials and their new menu that includes salads, sandwiches, and hand-tossed pizzas. It's half off from Industry. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. It's cold this morning, 31 degrees. Look for a lot of sunshine today. High today in the low 50s, so not bad.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Phone data from millions of Americans has been collected and stored by the NSA. Now that's going to change.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The president will put new limits on the National Security Agency's collection of Americans' phone call records, but he won't stop the program entirely. He's in effect punting as he plans to call on intel agencies and Congress to weigh in on where those records will be kept. Mr. Obama's new order will also require the NSA to seek court approval before going into that phone call record database.
At American University, Steve Vladek asks,
what is the minimum surveillance necessary to preserve our national security? The question now is, you know, to what extent will Congress follow?
Vladek's a professor of constitutional law.
The president is the one who is hearing from the intelligence agencies on a daily basis about all the threats that we face as a country. It says a lot that this president is willing to take the risk that some kind of intelligence failure might potentially lead to another attack.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832, 31 degrees in Chapel Hill. A lot of sunshine today. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. Mary Willingham says her research privileges at the university have been revoked. Multiple media outlets report that Willingham has been asked to reapply for research privileges by the Institutional Review Board, and she says she plans to do exactly that. Willingham was quoted in a CNN article January 8th as saying there is an alarming number of illiterate student-athletes at UNC. The university released data on Thursday afternoon that disputes those claims made in the CNN article. Professor Lou Margolis has a commentary about this coming up in just a few minutes about how death threats have no place on the UNC campus. A week after UNC student-athlete illiteracy was called into question, the chancellor, Carol Folt, responded, saying the allegations are being reviewed and that the claims don't add up so far to the preliminary figures in UNC's records. Chancellor Folt wrote to the campus community on Thursday, saying that Carolina's recent academic and athletic improprieties shook our university to its core, but the woes continue. You can read that full letter from Chancellor Folt on our website at chapelboro.com. Now, this was a response from the chancellor before UNC's academic numbers were released. UNC responded to the CNN article by releasing some data of its own. 97% of UNC student-athletes met the CNN reading skills threshold, according to an 8-year admissions analysis produced by the university. That CNN article stated that a majority of Carolina student-athletes read at a level no higher than 8th grade. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with Steve Farmer, UNC's Director of Undergraduate Admissions, following the release of that data.
Walk us through the numbers that the office released today and how they're in response to the numbers that were released earlier that were talked about by the CNN article.
Well, a couple things. One is that we actually didn't release any numbers that were talked about by the CNN article. CNN did not ask the university, didn't ask the Office of Undergraduate Admissions for any data at all about enrolling student-athletes. So we read the story and we were a little puzzled because the claims that were being made in the story didn't square with the admissions data that we had on file for student-athletes. So what the CNN article did was purport to look at a cohort of students enrolling between 2004 and 2012. And the article said that it had gone out and consulted experts, it did name the experts, and it determined a threshold for being college literate. And so we went out and we applied the CNN standard, the CNN threshold, to all of the student-athletes who had enrolled at the university between 2004 and 2012. And you already mentioned it. What we found is that more than 97% of those students met the CNN threshold. I'd read the claim that 60% of students were reading at this level, 10% were reading at that level. We just wanted to go out and gather the facts.
So that's the CNN threshold, which is 400 on the SAT reading and writing, and a 16, I believe, on the ACT. Now, do you have any specific information as to like where the average range is? Is it, and we know it's for that 97%, it's above 400, but is it above 500? Is it above 600? Where does the range lie?
I don't know anything about the average among the 97% of the 1338. We didn't calculate it.
So the average, that's the SAT. That's the average score for all student athletes. How about for the revenue sports, football, men's basketball, and women's basketball
team? Well, what we found is that we had 341 football, men's basketball, and women's basketball players in the cohort between 2004 and 2012. And what we found is that more than 90% of these students, 307 of the 341, met the threshold that CNN defined for being college literate.
What is the average score? And I mean, this is for students who were enrolled through the special talent policies and procedures. What is the average SAT score for any student just in general admitted to Carolina?
About 1,300.
Okay. And the other question that I had was looking at the earlier article, the CNN article, and other reports on it. You mentioned this already, the allegation that 60% of UNC football basketball players during that stretch read between a fourth and an eighth grade level, 8 and 10% read below a third grade level. Are these numbers incompatible with that?
I think these numbers are wildly incompatible with that claim.
Okay.
I don't know how that claim was arrived at, but I think the data that we have about students upon admission don't support the claim. And again, the thing I'd emphasize too, we're looking only at test scores here. When we consider candidates for admission, whether they're student athletes or whether they're anyone else who's applying, we feel that we owe them a detailed and thorough, a comprehensive, an individualized evaluation. We don't evaluate any student on the basis of a single test score, not any student athlete, not any student who applies for admission to the university. So the test scores that we have for students are really one part of a much bigger picture. We're just simply trying to give the CNN reporter and the CNN network some means of making an apples-to-apples comparison on the basis of actual data.
We're speaking with Steve Farmer, Director of Undergraduate Admissions, and following up on that, we're talking about undergraduate admissions, but then, of course, once the students are admitted to the university, then they've got their education in front of them, and I'm wondering if you can speak to, and I've spoken with Jan Boxley, UNC Faculty Chair, about this, and other people at UNC as well, about the quality of education that students receive once they get to UNC.
Well, the first thing,
especially for student athletes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing I'd say is that students earn their education. All the students we have here, whether they're special talent student athletes or whether they're other students, they earn their education. They earn the right to be here. They earn their education once they enroll. We do provide good support for students and good support also for special talent student athletes. And, you know, just looking at this cohort that we're talking about between 2004 and 2012, 59% of the students who didn't meet the CNN threshold have either already graduated from UNC or they remain enrolled and they're in good academic standing. Another 28% left the university academically eligible to return. So that's 87% of the students who didn't meet the threshold. And again, there were only 39 students who didn't meet the threshold, have either graduated from UNC or they remain enrolled and in good academic standing, or they left the university eligible to return.
And then just last question, I know that a lot of people will probably look at that and say, well, you know, 97% met the threshold, 3% did not, that 400 level on the SAT, that 16 level on the ACT. You've got 39 students who were admitted to UNC without meeting that threshold. So what would have been or what might have been the factors, other factors besides just test scores that went into the admissions process there?
You know, we have transcripts, we have recommendations from people. For most of the special talent student athletes we recruit, especially students who we're paying careful attention to, we talk to people in their schools, we try to get a sense of the student's character, of how badly the student wants to be educated. You know, the other thing I'll say about all this, I think the share of students who didn't meet this threshold, the share's been going down over time. In the class that we enrolled in 2013, we enrolled 154 student athletes. Every single student met this threshold. The year before, in 2012, we enrolled 167 student-athletes, all but two students. That is, 165 out of 167 met the threshold. The two who didn't had never made a grade below B in their high school careers. They were terrific students. We wanted to admit those students. We didn't admit them grudgingly. We admitted them gladly. We're glad they're here. They're doing fine. The students who are here earned the right to be here, and we're glad that they choose Caroline, and we want to support them while they're with us.
That again, WCHL's Aaron Keck speaking with UNC's Director of Undergraduate Admissions, Steve Farmer. Now, the question that you may be asking is the same one that I'm asking today. How can there be such a discrepancy between what Willingham has said and what CNN has published and what the university is saying with these figures that they released yesterday? And it's a complicated story, I suppose. You can continue to follow it right here on WCHL. We'll continue to cover it. You hear the full interview with Farmer and Aaron Keck. You can read this story on our website, chapelboro.com. We have all of our related stories there, including the statement released by Chancellor Carol Folt yesterday in advance of that conversation that Farmer had with Aaron Keck. And today's commentary is on the way from Professor Lou Margolis, who weighs in the fact that death threats have no place on the UNC campus or any other campus for that matter. And that's what she got in response to the CNN article. So the plot thickens. 8:41 at WCHL. And in news around town this morning, is McDonald's to blame for the rise of childhood obesity? Researchers at Carolina have published a study arguing that fast food is not the cause, but rather just a symptom of a larger problem. Poor dietary habits all day long, beginning in the home. Led by UNC nutrition professor Barry Popkin, the study found that childhood obesity is primarily caused by a diet that relies on processed foods, sugary drinks, and not nearly enough fruits and vegetables. That unhealthy diet gets reinforced in school as well as in the home, and while fast food restaurants are certainly full of unhealthy choices, the study suggests the problem would persist with or without the fast food restaurants. The study was published in the October 2013 issue of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. WCHL News Time is 8:42. D.G. Martin also with us this morning. You will hear from him coming up.
How would you like to drive a brand new BMW for $329 per month? That's a brand new 2014 BMW 320i for $329 per month. Wow! I'm Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance BMW in Chapel Hill, and I'm going to spend this first month in the new year redefining what makes us better than our competition. The Performance Promise, which is value, service, and people. Let's start with value. We will do whatever it takes to earn and keep your business. Case in point, lease a 2014 BMW 320i for $329 per month. Wow! We just don't want happy customers. We want fanatical fans. That's service. Our staff is dedicated to earning your respect, your loyalty, and most of all, your wow. Visit our virtual showroom at performancebmwchapelhill.com.
Stock number P4183. 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $39.98 total down. $549 admin fee and tag fee extra. Payment plus tax. Based on MSRP of $35,575 and selling price of $33,900. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS on select models. Take delivery before 1/31/2014.
BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2013 Center of Excellence. Wow!
As bright fall days slide into frosty winter nights, the good cooking at Glass Half Full Restaurant and Wine Bar will warm your soul. How about a bowl of savory lentil soup to chase the chill? Freshly rolled beet pasta makes splendid lasagna. Does duck confit or braised lamb shank with root vegetables pair nicely with a glass of assertive red wine? Cold weather makes me hungry. Come to Glass Half Full in downtown Carrboro for lunch or dinner and see what's cooking now.
Hi, my name is Griffin. I'm 8 years old and I volunteer with Book Harvest. I hope you'll join me on MLK Day. Gather the books you no longer need and bring them to the Carolina Theater of Durham next Monday between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. I'll be there along with Willie Bull and lots of local authors like Daniel Wallace and Sarah Dessen. We'll share all the books we receive with the local kids who need them. You can learn more about Book Harvest and its MLK Day afternoon of service at bookharvestnc.org. Thanks to WCHL for caring about kids like me.
844 at WCHL, you have a deadline coming up on Sunday. Here are all the details.
Time is running out to register to be one of our fourth annual Healthiest You Challengers presented by UNC Healthcare. Join WCHL and Chapelboro.com along with UNC Healthcare and the UNC Wellness Center at Metamont as we help another 64 challengers lose weight and get active and healthy. Each year, people just like you in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community have signed up to become as healthy as they can be. Visit chapelboro.com/healthiestyou and submit your registration by Sunday at midnight. We'll randomly select our 64 challengers to make up our 8 teams, and each challenger will receive a free 6-week club membership at UNC Wellness Center, along with other great benefits. So visit chapelboro.com for more details and to sign up today. Hurry! Limited space is available to be part of the 2014 challenge. Thanks to our sponsors, UNC Healthcare, UNC Wellness Centers at Meadowmont and in Cary, Massage Envy Spa South Point, Chimneys Plus and Gutter Solutions, UPS Store Chapel Hill North, Fordham and Meadowmont, and Massage Envy Spa Eastgate.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
31 degrees at WCHL. It's 8:45.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margol. I hope that anyone connected with UNC in any way, faculty, students, staff, administrators, fans of its athletics teams, will agree without hesitation that death threats have no place in the university. And yet, shockingly, that is exactly what Mary Willingham, a learning specialist at UNC, has experienced. Why? Apparently because some people don't like her provocative analysis of educational readiness among some UNC football and basketball players. Based on analysis of educational testing data that the Department of Athletics provided, and supplemented by her years of experience conscientiously working with UNC athletes, Ms. Willingham has asked and attempted to answer an important question. Namely, were some students admitted to be athletes at UNC even though there was little evidence of adequate academic preparation? Indeed, educational testing indicated that 8-10% of football and basketball players were reading at below a third grade level, far below the levels needed to engage meaningfully in a UNC education. We should applaud Mary Willingham for bravely and thoughtfully bringing these troubling findings to the attention of anyone who cares about the well-being of students, not to mention athletes at UNC. But let's be clear, whether one agrees or disagrees with her conclusions, whether one is a rabid UNC sports fan or ignorant of the harmful impact of big-time sports on the mission of UNC, death threats are unconscionable. Every UNC leader must stand up to denounce these death threats. In the face of death threats for engaging in scholarly work, the very essence of the university, every UNC leader should proudly announce, I, too, am Mary Willingham. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Recently out at Galloway Ridge near Farrington, H.D. Jones showed us that he still knows how to put a mark on important historical events. Well, he should. He's the former curator of the North Carolina Collection and was the director of the State's Department of Archives and History. But this time, he and two fellow Galloway Ridge residents celebrated 90-plus birthdays together, with their friends and families packed into the largest room out there at Galloway Ridge. Well, Jones has always known how to make history interesting for the rest of us. his book, North Carolina Illustrated, 1524 to 1984. Although that book's out of print, it's still my favorite place to go to get the feel for our state's rich history. And for many years, he wrote a popular column about interesting historical events and people. Some of these columns were recently collected into a book called Scoundrels, Rogues, and Heroes of the Old North State, with stories of Babe Ruth's first home run as a professional in North Carolina, Chang and Ing Bunker, the Siamese twins, and Ann Boney and Mary Read, who were pirates who pretended to be men until they were caught and sentenced to be hanged. They avoided the gallows because they showed the authorities they were pregnant. Well, Jones' accessible and entertaining history made him a popular speaker across the state. When people offered him payment for his talks, Jones refused. As an employee of the state and the university, said such visits were a part, he said, quoting, were a part of my job. Then he continued, but word got around that I would accept an apple pie, and most of the groups I spoke to would give me one. However, one time when he went down to Hyde County, to talk about the history of Lake Matamuskeet, nobody presented him with the traditional apple pie after his talk. But a few days later, a Matamuskeet apple tree sapling arrived and was planted in his front yard in Chapel Hill, which is right across the street from where I live. So each fall, I would steal a few of those ugly apples from that tree, and I'd make a cobbler, and I'd share it with Jones. It was my celebration of the tradition he gave of public service. His whole career symbolizes that above everything. Well, unfortunately, the folks who bought Jones' house when he moved out to Galloway Ridge cut down the Matamuskeet apple tree before they learned about its history. Well, all is not lost. A shoot has grown out of that stump of the old tree and is growing higher and higher. And also, former Chapel Hillians Claire and Walter Baum have planted in my yard a Matamuskeet apple tree from their orchard where they live now in eastern North Carolina. And finally, even more important, at the recent birthday party, Jones told me that the Pittsburgh apple expert Lee Calhoun had taken a cutting from the old tree and grafted it onto strong rootstock, and it's planted now outside Jones's residence at Galloway Ridge. He told me at his birthday party that, he said, that tree had 5 or 6 good apples this fall. And then he grinned and said, not enough yet for you to go stealing them again. Yeah, but there are plenty enough to be a reminder of H.G. Jones' historic contributions and his great legacy of public service. This is D.G. Martin.
Well, thank you, D.G. It is 8:51 at WCHL. And coming up, you're going to hear all about Kathy Porter, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Are you still confused by the Affordable Care Act? Join us at UNC Family Medicine for a free enroll-a-thon on Saturday, January 25th between 10 and 3. Get answers to your questions and help enrolling in the health insurance marketplace. Call 545-3440 to schedule an enrollment appointment. Let us help you enroll on Saturday, January 25th between 10 and 3 at the UNC Family Medicine Center at the corner of Manning and 15501 in Chapel Hill. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org.
Come to Dickie's and try our new buttery cornbread sandwiches. Like it spicy? Try our chicken. Like it sweet? Try our southern pulled pork. All our meats are hickory smoked every day. The buttery cornbread sandwiches are only here for a short time, so try them today. Decide which one you like best and vote on our website for a chance to win free barbecue for a year. Sweet or spicy? You decide. Only at Dickie's. Dickie's, where kids always eat free on Sunday and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Located in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, also in Cary and downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Building.
Because Wendy switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her vacation savings jar wants to pat her on the back. But it can't. It's a vacation savings jar. It doesn't have a palm to pat with. Even if it tried, it'd just spill change everywhere and make a mess. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the extra cash, you'll know your vacation savings jar wants to pat you on the back. But remember, it can't. It's a jar. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
Good morning. It is 8:53 at WCHL. When life demands more than just breakfast, Elmo's Diner offers lunch, dinner, shakes, cakes, and so much more. Elmo's Diner at Carmel in Carborough. Don't forget about Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. They're made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees with a great chewy ice and only 79 cents. Guaranteed to taste great. I get one every day at Cruiser's. Good to go. You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What is the word? How do you spell it? What does it mean? And it has a Shakespearean connection, but it doesn't have to be identified with William Shakespeare. Call me right now. 919-929-WCHL is your number to call. If you know all that information, if you're the first to get in here, you will get a $10 gift card to Cruisers that we just talked about. It's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Again, your number to call, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Kathy Porter is Executive Director of the RSVP 55 Plus Volunteer Program, a part of the Orange County Department on Aging. And Kathy Porter is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Well, the RSVP program is the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program. We basically recruit volunteers that are 55 years of age and over, and we recruit them and refer them to nonprofit agencies throughout the community. At this time, we have approximately 550 volunteers that work in over 100 different nonprofit agencies and programs. We have some volunteers that almost I look at it as a full-time job, working in several different agencies maybe. It is something that takes great dedication for some people. On the other hand, you've got people that maybe work once a month for maybe 4 hours. Maybe they work several times a year doing one-shot volunteer assignments, helping out with a health fair or a street festival or just a one-time thing.
Kathy Porter has served as director of the RSVP program for a long time.
Been with the program here in Orange County 25 years now, and as executive director, 19 years as executive director.
Wow, that's been a long time, and I know you've worked with some wonderful people, and I guess that probably is one of the main pleasures of the job, getting to work with such great people at the same time knowing that you're really helping the Orange County community.
Oh, yes. We not only work with nonprofit agencies, we have several programs that we coordinate ourselves through RSVP, and one of those programs is the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, VITA, where we work with people who have low to middle incomes and we prepare their tax returns.
RSVP hosts an annual recognition luncheon.
It's a wonderful event.
Kathy Porter, thank you for all you do to make Orange County a better place in which to live. Kathy Porter, director of the RSVP program. Today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand, we promise.
A great big congratulations this morning to one of the finest people I know, Ruth Stone, called in with the word of the day from Wayne Pond. It is groundling, G-R-O-U-N-D-L-I-N-G, groundling. It appeared in Shakespearean times. It was referred to people who sit at the feet of the audience, spectators who stand in the pit. And it can mean, in a more general sense, a person of unsophisticated taste, a groundling. Certainly not like Ruth Stone, that's for sure. Ruth gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Thank you so much. And Wayne Pond will have another word of the day for you on Monday.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Hi.
I'm Don Bassnight with Weaver Street Realty. If you've been renting for a while but want a place to call your own, give us a call. With interest rates still low, it really is a great time to buy. We'll connect you with good lenders so you understand your choices. Whether you want the bus line, a bike path, or a bush hog trail, our seasoned brokers can help you make a sound decision. Weaver Street Realty in downtown Carrboro for over 30 years, locally owned since day one.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the newly opened restaurant and bar called Industry. It's half off, $20 worth of food, available now for $10. Formerly known as The Standard, Industry now creates a warm, relaxing environment that is perfectly suited for casual dinner and drinks with family and friends. Industry doesn't get any more local. All four owners and operators are born and raised right here in Chapel Hill. Enjoy weekly specials and their new menu that includes starters, salads, sandwiches, and hand-tossed pizzas. It's half off from Industry. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit DurhamTech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
Good morning. It is time now to take a look at your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, brought to you this morning by Grumble Jewelers. They're always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grumble's, in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next door to Whole Foods. It is 31 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's going to start to warm up here soon. Our high today in the low 50s. We'll have a lot of sunshine tonight. Partly cloudy. A chance of an isolated sprinkle or two this evening. Cold tonight with a low down around 25.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Add it up for yourself. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals our community. Chapel Hill, where business is commerce plus.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. New marching orders could be in store for the National Security Agency. Live to the White House and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Definitely, Frank, at the Justice Department 2 hours from now, President Obama will call for blocking the NSA's ability to store Americans' phone call records. The agency will be allowed to continue gathering that data, but Mr. Obama wants Congress and the intel agencies to decide where it will be kept. CBS News national security analyst Juan Zarate looks at the impact.
That is a dramatic shift as to how the intel